morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Mike Cosentino here, Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson is, you know, I don't know, he's tootling along the coast of California doing something, enviable. I think he's sleeping right now during a Shakespeare play in Ashland. At least that's what I'd be doing. But we got an interesting show for you in spite of that. Matter of fact, I wait for him to leave before I book the good stuff. We want to talk about water. We're talking about water in Arizona. It's kind of the way it is. So we got a couple of local environmental activists. I'm going to use terms that they may not agree with, but I like. And one of the things that's happened, certainly there's lots of water news these days. Some of you may have seen a recent article about what they call a Deep Well Ranch. 10,000 homes going up into the, at least I put it on my website, and that that spells the end of the Verde River to me, which is a hyperbole. These guys will say, and these guys are going to make you feel better about the Verde River and maybe about water in general. But let's talk. We got Bob Rothrock here this morning. Bob,
morning, Mike.
Why should we give a crap about anything that you say?
Gee.
Who are you?
Well, first of all, I want to say that as far as feeling bad about water, the news today about the drownings over in the Payson area is certainly, certainly a sad thing. Our hearts go out to the folks who have been affected by that. And it goes to show you that there's an upside and a downside to being around water.
That's for sure. Flash floods are a story of Arizona, and as we said coming in, we could spend 45 minutes talking. We all have our flash flood stories, but today's story is a sad one. And
happens far too often, but it's very hard to prevent.
Yes.
People want to hang around water.
Yep.
And that's the reason I got involved with river conservation organizations. I've been a boater all my adult life and like to float the rivers, get other people out on them. So I've been involved with a variety of river conservation organizations and most recently with the Verde River Valley Nature Organization. Our mission has been to bring nature-based recreation, education, tourism opportunities to folks toward help encouraging stewardship of the Verde River Valley. And I have to say, I think we've been successful.
Just to say something, you chose to do this. This is something you wanted to do in this part of your life, that, you know, when there's your stage two or your act three or whatever we call this when we get involved in things later in life. And you felt you lived in the middle of this beautiful valley. We have this incredible waterway. And so this is how you wanted to spend your time.
That's true, Mike. I wanted to. I was a teacher for 30 years, and
right.
that was my career. But when I was able to retire in my 50s, I realized, geez, I've got a lot of good work left in me, and wanted to get more people involved with protecting our Verde River and other water resources.
Yeah, that's great. There's an anarchist friend down in Phoenix named Phil Freedom, of all names. Joey, and he talked about getting involved in your own hood. So I'm using you guys both as an example of getting involved in your own hood. And the other guy we have this morning is Tony Gioia. He said, I can't mention the Witness Protection Program, but as former mayor of Camp Verde and other things he tries to not brag about, but he also is highly involved. And this is the guy. One of the things, Tony, we want to talk about this morning is after you tell us who you are, is the consolidation of these water groups.
And that's an interesting topic, to say the least. I'll try to stick to things that are germane to water issues, as far as my experiences are.
All right.
And as a resident some decades ago in Camp Verde, I had an issue with my well that inspired me to investigate where our water came from. Eventually, one day, I packed up our family into our little 4x4, and we headed up to the Chino Valley, looking for what I presumed might be one spring which started the Verde River. Well, that was incorrect, and my education began in earnest on that day and continues today. I've been involved in a number of organizations, the Verde Watershed Association, the Statewide Watershed Association, Citizens Watershed Coalition. I was first chairman of and subsequently co-chair of the Yavapai County Water Advisory for 7 years, a number of terms on Camp Verde Council and mayor, as you mentioned, vice chair and board member of the Verde River Basin Partnership and chairman of education and outreach for it. A member of the Verde Valley Swiftwater Rescue Team with Bob, and and a Vervno volunteer and an avid kayaker. And Bob mentioned the very sad event up near Payson on the East Verde River or in that area. And Bob's been witness to two occasions when I was trapped underwater and help me out one of those.
You're welcome.
Thanks, buddy. Unlike our other friend who led me into those situations.
Now.
You know who I'm talking about.
Go over there, Tony. Yeah.
Well, we won't discuss that. But presently, I'm vice president of Friends of the Verde River. That's the new name.
That's your position now, vice president of Friends of the Verde River.
Correct. Previously, the Friends of Verde River Greenway.
Right.
And also, I've been appointed a few months ago to Camp Verde Council appointed me as the water resource advisor to the town of Camp Verde.
Now, like I said, I'm going to play the outside observer here. I know you guys, there's lots of people that did lots of great work with these, and they're in the process of transition. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on here. That even to a casual outside observer, something's going on with the water groups, and we're talking about transitions, we're talking about combinations, and once again, to the outside observer, it makes sense. It makes sense that you guys get together. Now, I too, for full disclosure here, did a short stint on the board of the Verde River Valley Nature Organization. These are the people that bring you a wonderful kayak race every year and the bird festival. I was on the board for a little while, but the
thanks for your service.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Yeah, that's right. It was fascinating and incredibly educational. But you wanted me to work too hard. And but the idea is that everybody. What I learned, one of the many things I learned, was that everybody had their mission. Everybody really had a little different thing. Because as a reporter, many years ago, I did a story, and I listed my lead paragraph was the 17 water and river organizations that existed, because as I was trying to do due diligence as a reporter, I kept finding water group or river group or water group, and part of the point of the article, I believe, was to differentiate the difference between a water group such as CWAG, the Citizens Water Advisory Group, or Salt River Project, and a river group, and because they all kind of mush together, at least in the public's mind, I think, at least in this reporter's mind. So I separated, and there were 17 of them. We're now, it's not 17 anymore, and that seems like a good thing. Yeah, you're holding up less than five fingers, and so we're somewhere in there. So you've combined your missions. What are you guys doing now? I mean, water's still obviously a big deal.
We've, as a member of various groups you're talking about, all those groups had different reasons for the desire to merge with another organization. And the Friends are a larger organization, very successful, very quietly
yes, you're right.
Building partnerships, works boots on the ground, plus in ideologies and improvements. And the organizations who know quite a bit about water issues realize that that type of organization that works very quietly has a good financial backing, permanent staff, regular employees, is well organized, is the place where your mission can really see the light of day. And it is easier for those great volunteers from all those organizations to become part of that or stand under that umbrella. And we really hope that those volunteers and those integral parts of those organizations do not disappear. Those are the people that make these things happen.
Yeah.
And they're needed in the partners, in the friends. The mergers of several different of those organizations are still unfolding.
Right. It's partially financial. I mean, and it makes sense
it is
financially, by the way.
Very definitely.
You know, speaking once again as inside outsider, an outside insider, that there's only a limited pot of money out there, and as boards looked at where they could get money, and certainly we mentioned the Walton Family Foundation as a supporter of certainly more than one of these.
Wonderful groups. Supporter.
And then local fundraising. You couldn't raise the money that you get from the Walton Family Foundation in the Verde Valley. I think one of the things as a board member we discovered was, and we threw various numbers around, but any nonprofit certainly in this community has a limited capacity, especially since you are in some ways competing with all the others. So I'm going to just, I'm going to throw out a couple names. So what is One for the Verde?
One for the Verde is a program that has been part of Friends that has local businesses participating in river conservation.
Perfect. So it's part of Friends?
Yes.
And it's a fundraising thing?
Yeah. Local businesses either contribute or ask their customers to contribute via donation jars to money that is then used for groups to apply for grants to, for example, take kids to the river and work on river water quality testing. Happened in Oak Creek.
They provided grants to the river organization.
Via One for the Verde grant.
What's the Verde River Basin Partnership?
It was a scientific and educational organization. Uh-huh. The partnership held monthly meetings, educational meetings, invited authorities on subjects, shared that with the public and members, actually wrote quite a phenomenal book, actually I'll no doubt be quoting from that book during our discussion today.
Who wrote this book?
The Verde River Basin Partnership.
They publish it as an organization.
Right. And it's still on the site, vrbp.org.
Uh-huh.
And it is, I would say, a high school to college level reading education in water. It's called the Water Resource Primer, the
That's
Verde
great.
River Basin
hey,
Water
Tony,
Resource
I have to,
Primer.
In all the years we've been here, nobody's ever announced the reading level of a book that they were trying to promote on Democratic perspective. But thank you, though. That's
well, we actually decided that it would be an educational book, and we would like educators to utilize it in that reading area. So high school, college, and the subtitle is Understanding Our Water in Our Verde River Basin. And it
Good
is
title.
Deep into geology, hydrogeology, hydrology, and then more simple terms for the layman. We try and relay that. The major contributor, the major writer was Ed Wolf.
I see.
At the time, our president. For the partnership.
So this is the Verde River Basin Partnership. It is it still has a Facebook page and a website, but it has become part of the Friends of the Verde Greenway? Events of the Verde River.
Friends of the Verde River.
Okay.
That is
Got it, Mike.
The name. Green. Good job.
Mike, one more thing on One
yes,
for
please.
The Verde. This is one of the best ways that listeners can participate in Verde River conservation by going to the website and getting the list of businesses. They're all over the Verde Valley, Sedona, Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and participating with their contributions or just telling the business owner, thanks for being a member. It's really important to me, and that's why I'm in your store, because you're a member of One for the Verde. And again, that money then goes to really worthwhile programs that are put on by a variety of organizations to assist in conservation activities.
That feedback is real important. I'm amazed, you know, at this. I'm going to use the word success of Friends of the Verde in getting businesses to participate. Now, once again, it may not be millions of dollars, but, you know, we got when I was on the board of the Verde River Nature Valley Organization, we got a $3,000 grant, and you'd be amazed what you can do with $3,000 when it comes to recreation and preservation.
Yeah, we were able to put on a number of safe river recreation clinics so that people who wanted to get into boating but didn't want to do it through trial and error could actually hopefully learn how to pilot a boat on a river rather than on still water.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And that's and for a little bit of money, you're able to impact a lot of lives. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking at two men whose lives have been changed, quite frankly, by their river activities. And I saw that even in my short time on involved with the river organizations, that the river activities, the kayaking, the other things. Changed people's lives. Whether it was wakeboarding, all the things that people did with our little, you know, people make fun of our little river because you can walk across it and not get your thighs wet in some cases.
True that.
I did that the other day, by the way. I was sitting at a local watering hole, which is different than a swimming hole. And it was really warm, and I just got up. I have my dead horse state park pass. I try to get all that out. And I just walked into the river. I just went down at the end of Owl Road, and I had some crappy shoes on because that's what I own. And I walked into the river, and it was the most wonderful thing. Now, there was a few people standing around that sort of looked at me funny, but the idea was I could have walked to the other side of the river. And now I'm from an area that we have a little thing called the Niagara River. And there's this thing, it turns into the Niagara Falls is what it becomes after 22 miles from my home. So when I came here, I said, that's a river. This is a river. This is not a river. But
nevertheless, you mentioned that people were there watching you immerse yourself in the water,
yes,
Tony.
That's true.
And Mike, the... that fact about the Verde is pretty amazing, that in spite of its diminutive size, you might say, lots and lots of people like to enjoy it, and not just for boating. They fish, they hike, they hang out, they bird watch. There's all kinds of people down at the river. People are drawn to water.
That's right. That's right. And you can just walk in it and walk out of it. And
because of this, the Verde River, Oak Creek, these are economic engines in our communities.
Very good point.
There's no doubt about it.
You know,
go ahead,
it's
Tony.
Funny that you mentioned you can walk across the river. Bob and I and a number of other guys are on the Swiftwater Rescue Team, the Verde Valley Swiftwater Rescue Team.
Yes.
And one of the things, and Bob is laughing, one of the things that often happens in a very exciting rescue mission is we turn to the, we don't call them a victim, but we turn to the participant and they're having trouble, they've fallen in the water, and we tell them we are from the Swiftwater Rescue Team and we are here to help them. Please follow our instructions exactly. Now, stand up. And our job is done here.
That's great. The client stands. End of report.
Exactly.
That's good. That's anyway, but we all know, as we already discussed the tragedy of the flash flood, and or at least we began a little bit, we know that what can happen to our little sleepy waterways when
when the water's over your knees, it can drag you down.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, there you go. Is that a rule of thumb I should remember? Well, if the water's over your knees, it's deep enough to take you in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Well, one of the things in my notes, I'm looking at the connection between rivers and groundwater. Well, if we're talking water this morning, and of course, I always think in terms of headlines, you know, Salt River Project meters all the wells in Arizona. So all you guys with wells are going to be paying for your money, paying for your water now. And at home, if you buy your water from the Arizona Water Company or Cottonwood Municipal Water Works or whatever they call it, you're going to be paying $300 or $400 a month because water is expensive. And we talked about cliches we didn't want to use on the show. One of them, we live in a desert. As I see houses go in, as Chip Davis, former Yavapai County supervisor, said, if you stick enough, I'm not quoting him, but he said, if you stick enough straws into the ground, you're going to get it all eventually. If people keep sticking straws in the ground. So as they keep sticking straws in Prescott, Tony Gioia did something that I did also. I went looking. People said the Verde River begins in Paulden. So I went to find Paulden. Couldn't find it, by the way. My great trail.
You must have blinked.
My trailblazing skills being what they were. But I did find Drake, by the way, and a railroad out there. Interesting little, I can't call it a town. It was a building with a railroad crossing. But point being, they're sticking straws up there like crazy. The article in the Daily Courier, the Prescott Daily Courier, just talked about the Deep Well Ranch annexation, and they're sticking straws in the ground. And as many as that. Now, they're talking about decades ahead. We want to make sure that people know that this isn't going to be tomorrow, but we're talking about thousands of houses with lots of need for water. In the source of the Verde River.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike, in the sense that they're sticking straws in the ground. We have to remember that we're sticking straws in the ground, too. I'm aware of four different housing developments that are going on in the Cottonwood-Clarkdale area right now, and while each home won't have its own well, I doubt that'll be the case here with this one in Prescott.
Right.
Nevertheless, we're all reliant in rural Arizona on groundwater.
Right.
This is water that has percolated down through the layers of rock and gravel, and it does so until it reaches a basement rock, and then it often emerges in springs and seeps and so forth and so on, and rivers like the Verde River. All the flow that we see in the Verde River in the dry months is base flow. This is groundwater that has reached the level of the river. So as we put more and more straws in the Verde Valley, we've gone from 60 to 6,000 wells in a matter of 60 years. In the 50s, there were 60 wells in the Verde Valley. Now we have over 6,000, I'm sure.
Easily.
All of these wells can pump up to 35 gallons a minute without any kind of special permit or regulation from the state.
Wow.
So, yes, it's over in the Prescott area, but it's also here. But you were asking about deep well, and when I read the article that was in the paper, they talked about up to 10,500 homes in 30 years. Later in the article, they said that they have an approximately 950 acre feet of water that's allocated to them.
Is that a lot?
Water settlement agreement. Well, Mike, that's enough at four families per acre foot per year. That's enough for 3,800 families. And they're talking about 10,500 homes.
I see.
Seems to me there's a large shortfall there.
All right. Well, and the law allows Prescott to do this, by the way. They've annexed this area. The Prescott Active Management Water Area, I believe, allows them. So it's all legal. It's not like they're stealing anything. It's all up and up. And it's just one of those, I don't know. I don't want to say it. It's just one of those things of growth. But as you mentioned, Bob, Arizona's water supply is a combination of surface water, groundwater, and reclaimed water. I was looking at a map before we came here, a chart, that it was like 57% surface water, 48% groundwater, and 3% reclaimed water.
And most of that surface water you're talking about is the Colorado River.
And most of that surface water is the Colorado River. And of all the endangered rivers, by the way, if we're going to do a show on water, The other headline that's in my mind from is that the Lower Colorado is the most endangered river in the United States. Am I wrong?
Top 10.
It provides 90% of the winter vegetables for the United States, not just Arizona, but between California and Arizona, the Lower Colorado, or what's called the Lower Colorado, and I guess the Lower Colorado, what you and I are calling the Lower Colorado, is between the Page and Lake Havasu, because there is no Colorado by the time it gets down to the Gulf of California anymore. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. The last diversion is in Mexico.
Ah.
And after that, the river, there's no Colorado River.
Well, there you go. It's, so what we, the image I carry around in my head of a Colorado River that goes the full length of the border of Arizona and empties, like the Mississippi empties into the Gulf of Mexico, the Colorado empties into the Gulf of California. But it's more like the Salt. It's gone, the Salt River, it's gone long before it gets to Phoenix and all those reservoirs. John Talton, to mention a writer, just did a wonderful story. Not just, he publishes some old stories that he did, but he talks about Phoenix 101. He has a column called Rogue Columnist, but he said, why, and this week's column was Phoenix, why? What made people, and people came to Phoenix because it was a steady source of water. And that's that simple.
Yeah, beginning with the Hohokam.
Exactly.
Or their ancestors.
Exactly. Somewhere in this pile of papers, these people can't see the studio, you're looking at me, I got a pile of papers around me. Somewhere in this pile of papers is a wonderful story about the Hohokam and their and the modern people used a lot of the Hohokam's old canals.
Right.
To bring water to Phoenix and its environs.
Yeah, they could barely improve on the gradient.
So right.
They used them.
Yes, exactly. Well, there you go. So we have lots of going on in the state with water. We got some of these, local water organizations are consolidating. So what's going to happen? What's going on with those? Are you allowed to say what happens in the future here? We got Walton Family Foundation funding water places.
Where's your crystal ball, Mark?
Where's my crystal ball? I often get out my crystal ball on Democratic perspective. Go ahead, Tony.
If I could, this umbrella that we spoke of, the Friends of the Verde River, has now friendly
okay.
in a manner of the bigger picture and moving forward with our mission, taken on some of the responsibilities or the missions of the other organizations who asked the Friends to merge with them, to have them merge into the Friends. The programs are planned to be continued from those organizations. There'll be a vetting of which programs are the most beneficial and which have the correct manpower and funding. But the three main commitments from actually the mission of the Friends of the Verde River is restoring riparian habitat, restoring flows, and fostering community stewardship. So right now, in a broad description, there are three major program categories that the Friends have. The riparian area restoration, which, as you mentioned, was invasive species removal along the riparian area, which has been a tremendous success over the last 5-7 years. This year alone, 400 acres were treated.
It seems
for
like
invasives.
Such a huge thing. Why would anybody think that they could make an impact? Cutting stuff down and doing whatever they're doing, because the river's so long and there's so much land. But you're saying, I understand that you are not the only one. Other people have said they have had great success in doing this.
The total to date has been 8,400 acres treated. Wow. Yeah. And the retreatments this past year of 600 acres Will all be repeated again next year, that 400 acre, more than 400 acres of much more dense riparian area in the Cornville and Camp Verde vicinities will be treated. And revegetation is an effort to bring back the native species. We have the cottonwood and the Gooding Willow are the forest gallery that we have here on the Verde River is extremely rare in all the world.
I see.
It's a very individual imprint of nature, and the flying patterns, the migrations of various fowl is very, extremely intense on the Verde River. I may have heard correctly or incorrectly, but more intense than along the Colorado, which is a much larger river.
I see.
Because the riparian area that borders the Verde is so lush and dense. So to have the right
folks, we're talking about one of the missions of the Friends of the Verde River. And by the time I'm going to ask you, we're in the middle of discussion about the missions and what the alphabet river organizations have collapsed into, and we're talking about Friends of the Verde River.
Don't use the word collapse, Mike.
Not use the word collapse.
Please don't.
You're right. Bad choice. But one of the things we want to not collapse is our relationship with Steve Segner and the group over at El Portal that are good supporters of Democratic Perspective. And certainly his breakfast crew over there keeps us going at least once a week. We have Democrats of the Red Rocks. Are great contributors to Democratic Perspective, and we want to give them a shout out. And don't forget, they have their monthly breakfast. It's coming up this week at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. I believe it's going to be on immigration. A guy named Steve Nuno is going to be there talking about it's a topic that's been out of the headlines lately, but it's sure to come back in any time. Now we have so this Thursday, 8 o'clock. 8:30, actually, at in Sedona, at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. They have Democrats of the Red Rocks have their monthly breakfast. They're getting great attendance. I was actually going to get through a whole show without using the word Trump, but I'm not. Trump has been a great recruiter for. He's been the most wonderful recruiter you could possibly want for Democratic organizations, and so we're seeing a wonderful attendance. The breakfast always had good attendance because they always had great speakers. The program people over at DOOR do a great job. But now we're having really good attendance, and one of the reasons is people are just more interested in politics. They're seeing that how the criminal organization known as the Republican Party in power is really impacting the lives in negative ways. So come over. DOOR's doing lots of things. League of Women Voters are certainly a spiritual supporter for they've been on the show many times. I can't call them a supporter of a Democratic Perspective. They might we don't want to that's not what they do. They do nothing partisan. They come on the show and they give information. So let me make that clear. But you also, if you are becoming politically active or environmentally active, you might want to look into the League of Women Voters. Now, Tony, we are going to finish a little bit more here of what the Friends of the Verde River are doing. We've got the invasive species thing. What else is going on?
Well, as the second part of our mission, restoring flows, there is the groundwater mitigation project, which could be considered two actual projects. Uh-huh. One is helping. The Nature Conservancy has been working closely, and we've been working together. As I said, Friends are most certainly a group of partners working towards the same or relatively similar end goals. And one of the things, increasing water left in the river. The Verde Valley, Verde meaning green, is such because of all the ditches that spread through the valley.
Uh-huh.
Basically, those are like little rivers,
yeah,
bringing water at every corner, more along most of the Verde Valley. if they weren't there, and if the river started to dry up, we'd most likely be changing our name to the Sienna Valley.
We're talking 42 river ditch organizations in the Verde Valley, the Cottonwood Ditch and the Verde Ditch being the largest, the ones that people have heard about. But when John McCain, speaking of well, at least originators or encouragers of the Verde River Basin Partnership, this is a quote from one of his people in from the paper, that when they got to looking at it, they found 42 ditch organizations in all associated with the Verde River.
True. Well, one of the projects brings those. The availability of technology to those ditches for better dispersal of the water, metering, understanding how much water they need, being able to mechanize and send through telemetry, the ditch bosses can look at their phone and decide how much to open the weir.
Wow.
And how much will be left in the river and not drawn out. And it's resulted in phenomenal amounts of water left flowing through the river. I've heard figures of 10 to 15 acre feet in the base flow at the lowest times of year.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Fascinating, yeah, no.
Hauser & Hauser Farms has actually gone to drip irrigation underground for a portion of their crops, and that's being worked on thanks to the Nature Conservancy and funding from our partners, and it's amazing. There's also another mitigation effort which the Friends has. It's the Verde River Exchange. It will have an announcement and some more details, but basically if someone who has been utilizing groundwater would like to lay their land fallow, stop using groundwater, if they have had crops and they decided to stop utilizing that, they can apply to our organization for credits and be paid for those groundwater credits. And someone who wants to, and this is all voluntary, wants to compensate the aquifer,
right,
can buy their credits, even though they legally could continue or start to utilize groundwater because they own land. And if you own land, you own the water below.
Right.
And nobody has a fence around the water below.
Right.
They can actually buy those credits from someone who is not using their water.
I see.
And basically, the net gain in the ground starts to increase with the more participants we have. That's
and the net gain of the river.
And thereby, right,
thereby,
the base flow increases, because even though the state of Arizona doesn't recognize it, our groundwater certainly affects our surface water and vice versa. To me, I've always considered just going and looking at the river a barometer for how our groundwater is doing.
That's excellent. That's a good idea. And your talking reminded me of something I have to say about the Deep Well Ranch, and that is, according to the water, I don't want to use the word law, but the rule, they're supposed to, any water they take out, they're supposed to put back. In the Prescott Active Management Area, correct me if I'm wrong, both of you guys are frowning, at least according to the newspaper article that I read, that if they take water out, that if the flow of the Verde River is, let me put it this way, if that flow, not any water that they take out, if the flow is damaged by taking it out, then it has to be mitigated. It has to be returned somehow, some effort.
That is in the law.
That's in the law. So that's now those of us that don't necessarily have much faith in that are saying, yeah, great. Well, it's nice to write that in there, but how, where are you going to get the water from? How are you going to do that? Well, and that, you know, that part isn't in the law.
Well, one way that they plan to do that is recharging treated effluent, which can certainly help. It's
sure.
It's a viable idea. A thing I worry about is in treated effluent is endocrine disrupting compounds. These are things that mess with animals' endocrine systems. And we found, of course, in medicines, things like birth control pills and other medications, but believe it or not, the vast majority of them come from just things like fragrances and shampoos and other cleaning products.
Yeah, yeah.
And these compounds are active in oftentimes very minute quantities, and traditional, even class A treatment of effluent doesn't remove them.
That's right. It's geared toward bacteria and not toward endocrine disruptors and all the other things that can, that are in our water. Everything that goes into the sewer goes into the water. I guess, I don't know, do other states screen for this? Can you screen for it? They screen for bacteria. So when ADWR, the Arizona Department of Water Resources, gives us reclaimed water at Class A, they're telling us it has this level of bacteria in our low level, but it doesn't say anything about any of these other chemicals.
And those aren't part of the screening process.
Right.
It's not part of the screening process.
And on the treatment process, which seems to be a problem.
Wouldn't
up
that be
in Flagstaff,
a
they've discovered aberrations, issues with frogs in their areas where they
release their treated wastewater.
Treated water, thank you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, three-legged frogs is something to be concerned about.
No males.
No males, right? Yeah, well, that would make a lot
of
people
really something.
At least half the population might be sitting up and taking notes.
But isn't it a good idea in 2017? I mean, I remember the stories of 10, 20, 30 years ago about endocrine disruptors and about how we're not tested. But here it is at this late date, and certainly science can help us test for these things. But I guess it's not, I don't know, financially to anyone's benefit, contractors or developers, to test for these things. And so the reclaimed water keeps going. They can say they're getting 3% of Arizona's water reclaimed. But I don't believe if ADWR was here or Salt River Project was here, not just you guys, they'd be shaking their head too and say, well, we don't have any method of testing for reclaimed water. So,
likely so, Mike. You know, there's something you brought up about when you were talking about the Democrats and had me thinking that, in all, I think that river conservation is a very conservative issue. The best way we can go about river conservation is to begin with conserving water wherever we can. And the other thing we want to conservative approach is to go slowly on things, change things rapidly. And so when you look at the possibility of thousands and thousands of homes going into an area that's already have the river in safe yield, that's a rather rapid change, and it's not a conservative approach. So by doing things slowly, we can try to adjust what we're doing that impacts the river before it's too late. If we move quickly, some of those opportunities aren't going to be available to us. This is a conservative issue.
And it is a conservative issue.
It's funny you mentioned that we were environmental activists. That's a little tough.
You can
tough
pin
for
that
me.
On me, Mike. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right.
Bob likes that one, but you know, I've been politically involved, so it's a little different for me.
Sure.
But I would say I'm a moderate conservative,
okay.
And it's funny. I am a conservationist.
Yeah.
Most conservatives are not in that realm of conserving as a conservationist.
Don't forget, folks, Tony, thank you very much for clearing that up. Don't forget, folks, you can get this show and all our shows on vbid.org. vbid.org is Democratic Perspective. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening. listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.